Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Strengthened border security beyond what many believed was possible.
The border is more secure now than it has been ever.
I'm confident that the border is as secure as it's ever been.
It is more secure now than it has ever been.
I think it's really important for this panel and the country to know the border is as secure as it's ever been.
Mr. Speaker, our borders are more secure than ever before.
Everyone here. The border is secure.
The border is secure.
I think our border with now 21,000 Border Patrol agents is under control.
Our border is secure, more secure than ever before.
The border today is more secure than it has ever been.
Is the border secure?
Well, I will tell you that there are more resources that are dedicated to this border right now in securing it than there ever have been.
More secure.
As secure.
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 The border is secure.
These criminal traitors you just heard aren't deceived. They are deceivers. All of them collaborators in the willful destruction of our once great republic. All of them members of the organization that has adopted the Communist Party platform. Fascists, statists, globalists who call themselves the Democrat Party. Liars. I am John Jacob Schmidt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Thank you so much for joining us. We are in the campaign to resist the hopeful slave makers and the destroyers of Americanism, our history, our heritage, our freedom, our republic, and our Judeo-Christian values. All of you out there in occupied America, be encouraged. You're in our thoughts and our prayers. You are not forgotten. We are in the fight defending freedom and supporting Americanism, and we're fighting the deceivers. Those people, all of those talking points, those people didn't make those words up on their own. The border is more secure now than ever before, than it has ever been. Those are talking points that were given to them. They were on orders. This is what you will say. They all have their marching orders, and they're carrying them out, and they're leading to the destruction of our country. Now, in the fight against those who are destroying Americanism, in the fight against the deceivers, including the rhinos, I want to thank all of you for your support this week for Washington State Representative Matt Shea. He came under attack by a left-wing infiltrator in the Republican Party, posing as a Republican, but he has a long history of being friends with the fascists who are part of the Democrat Party, who vowed and carrying out their instructions to destroy America. Well, this rhino went on the attack to this week, spreading lies about the patriot, the God-fearing patriot, Representative Matt Shea, saying that his views, his extremist right-wing views, don't represent the people. Well, the people spoke. And they basically, thanks to all of you, responded blow for blow. You returned the punch to the face to the media outlet that is attempting to help those on the left. You stood up, you made your voices known, and you're speaking up saying he does represent our views. He does stand for Americanism. And that is our representative, no matter where you lived. Those of you who sent in those letters of support, thank you so much. When they throw a punch, we have to throw it back, and we're in a fight. And you guys did. You responded appropriately, professionally, but firmly, and that's what we got to do. So thank you guys all for tuning in across the American Redoubt and outside the wire. Great to have all of you with us. We've got several things we are going to cover tonight because there's so much going on. Of course, as you know, our nation is under attack. It is under assault. They are pounding away with sledgehammers at the foundations of our nation. Our borders are left wide open. But we also want to leave you with encouragement as well, because there is encouragement, right? When the Titanic is sinking, the encouragement is that there are lifeboats. There are redoubts. There are conservative pockets that are growing and where people are strategically relocating to so that they can weather this crisis that we're in, seeing our nation under attack. And we're keeping up the fight. We're fighting them, but they are deeply entrenched. So now, speaking of having to face tyranny and the tyrant, the destroyers and the deceivers, there's some people who've gone before us and they've passed their stories on. And Codename Chloe's done a great job with that, with the Partisan Diaries. And tonight, after Delta Zero Four's PostNet report, Codename Chloe's Partisan Diaries number five, is going to air tonight. And that one is titled Faithful Am I. That's the story of Patrick O'Leary. And this one is a special one because it was read by Glenn Tate, the author of 299 Days, the book series. And of course, he's the sponsor for the segment one, news and commentary, which we'll be getting into here in just a minute. Hopefully you guys got a chance to listen to the Northern Nevada Prepper Group Net. That is a radio, ham radio communications net. And they record that and upload the audio file because they cover a topic each week related to being a prepared, self-reliant citizen. And this week was protection for women. They covered that topic. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it in the pre-show broadcast this afternoon, you can always go over to the Northern Nevada Prepper Group Net. That's NNPG, as in November, NovemberPapaGolf.net, and check out their archives. They do a great job over there. All right, let's get right into the news. Glenn Tate and 299 Days book series is sponsoring this segment, and they've got some audio books coming out. And I've been exchanging emails with Glenn Tate this week. And we're going to be bringing more news about that to you guys who are 299 Days fans. And speaking of the country being under attack and our borders being invaded, it was just reported by a redoubter, an Amron operator, actually, in southern Idaho. Their local radio broadcast there for the in that area, the commercial broadcasting, said that the government had requested camping equipment last Thursday for 650 people that was needed by that morning. That was Monday, to be delivered to the Gowan Field Orchard. Somebody's asking, is there military exercises happening? That's interesting that the government would be requesting the immediate delivery of camping equipment for 650 people to an orchard. I'm wondering if they're going to make the illegals pay their way by working in the orchard. Well, I mean, they are slave makers, the left-wing extremists in the Democrat Party that are blowing our borders wide open. Pretty interesting. There are several warnings also about the wave of the immigrant disease that's coming to a community near you. They're injecting this into multiple communities. There's a lot of stuff breaking open, wide open on this. And, you know, I predict that we are going to see United Nations intervention. They're already talking about intervening with, you know, of course, Detroit, the city of Detroit, because of the human rights violations, because these people aren't paying their water bills. They go to turn their water off, and the UN is starting to say, hey, we're going to have to get involved here. I bet it's a matter of time before we see the UN trying to intervene in the southern border crisis. You watch. You just wait. Let's see. Speaking of Homeland Security also, this week they were in, what were they doing? Oh, they surrounded, this was over on InfoWars. They all showed up at a federal building and just showed up in force. And they said the purpose of it was to do it as an outreach to let people know that they're in the area. So they just show up with all these Homeland Security vehicles. They want to make their presence known. They want you to know that they're there. And what they really want is to desensitize you to their presence so that when they're everywhere, it's no big deal. You're used to it. On this illegal immigrant invasion that this Obama administration and his collaborators are helping with, the Obama administration in July 2013, this is just coming to light now, quietly introduced a new regulation that critics say will dramatically increase Washington's power over local zoning laws in every city and town that accepts federal block grants through the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And it's the federal grants that could be used as a hook in the nose of these cities. Is your city accepting federal money? I'd be surprised if they weren't. Forcing them to house illegal immigrants against their will. Some are calling it Common Core of local zoning that has flown under the radar for nearly a year instead of the U.S. Department of Education dictating education standards to local school districts. This rule change would allow HUD to influence zoning laws from the biggest cities down to the tiniest towns. The proposed rule, which is set to take effect in October, would put teeth in the Fair Housing Act of 1968 by providing a set of standards, guidelines, and goals, then use data to measure and assess how well a local community is meeting its fair housing obligations. So now the illegal immigrants, La Raza said that the most illegal immigrants don't know their rights and they fear deportation, thus making them susceptible to housing discrimination. And of course, we're in the business of fighting discrimination, right? And so that's coming up on the radar, something that we might have to contend with. Also, we've all kind of gone to sleep over this North American Union thing because they got so much pushback, right? Well, it just kind of fizzled away. This is a pet project. Remember when I said, 2 years ago, you watch, this is going to return. Because it just kind of went away. They were all big fans and proponents of the North American Union. And now all of a sudden, it's just, you don't hear anything. It's nobody even thinks about it or talks about it anymore. Watch. These borders broken down, which is what the globalists want, no borders anyway. That means the destruction of the sovereign nations, especially a beacon on the hill like the United States. They got to snuff that light out. So you're going to see the rise of the North American Union again. Watch. Just mark my words. It's going to come. Probably give it within 6 months, it's going to be reintroduced. I wouldn't doubt it one bit. Let's go ahead and take a quick break here. And I want to talk about, some of the other news items. And then we're going to talk about I want to call it part two from God and Country. The other part that I wanted to get to, didn't get a chance to get to. I want to cover some things there. And then I want to talk about our nation and redoubts and our future. So stay right there. I'm going to let Fox 519 take it away with a couple of things I was going to get into, but he kind of went on a rant tonight. And I thought, hey, what the heck? He's on a roll. Let him. Right. So I'll just back off and he's got some pretty powerful words. So stay right there. I'll be back with you in just a minute in segment two. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you're listening to Radio Free Readout.
As I said last week, everyone, the BRICS have announced they were going to start a bank. And guess what? They did. And now the world is beginning to wake up and realize there are other financial alternatives to the dollar. The end of our economy is drawing near. This week, we saw again the continued degrading of our dollar. The Fed couldn't be paid back and wants you to begin to hold the bag, and central Washington is on fire and there isn't any sign of it stopping. Now the economic impacts of this are going to be felt far and wide here in the Readout. This is Sunday, July 20th, and I am Fox 519 bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Welcome back. As I said last week, the BRIC nations have officially announced that they have formed their own investment bank. The announcement came on the 15th of this month, and the impacts were surprisingly minimal to the world markets. My best deduction is that the current mainstream media in America is being told to focus on what is going on in the Ukraine and told to say nothing of what this news means to our economy and our dollar. The bank itself would be made up of $100 billion donated from the BRIC nations, as well as another $100 billion in currency reserves. Surprisingly enough, it'll be headquartered and managed in Shanghai, not Switzerland. This is an important fact. They're using Shanghai, and we all know that the Chinese have been aggressively buying gold at staggering rates. This move by the BRICS and Russia's political maneuvering in the Ukraine, as well as both their military movements and their aggressive military supplies flowing to eastern Ukraine, all go to prove that something really big is coming. Now, to top this proverbial cake, reports are now surfacing that it was a possible breach by Russian hackers in October of 2010 to the NASDAQ database. The report was published by Bloomberg Business and reported that there was it was quite possible that the Russian government hackers placed a digital time bomb in the code for the NASDAQ network that was set to go off several years from the date it was placed, right about this time. The malicious code was discovered by FBI and Homeland Security, and the code itself has been possibly removed, and the contents have been examined for further evaluation. Like I've said, everyone, Russia and China are working and have been working overtime to kill our currency. I know this isn't news to any of you, but getting out of the markets is the best possible move that you can make right now. In other U.S. news, the U.S. Treasury is having some very serious trouble with their collateral they are offering on their bonds. In a story on Zero Hedge this week, it was detailed out that the Fed has been asking holders of U.S. Treasury bonds to swap their short-term bonds for long-term bonds greater than 30 years. The problem is that the Treasury doesn't have the collateral to back up the short-term bonds. The Treasury has recently had several major, what's called a fail to deliver, and have had several of these incidents in which they had to continually swap short-term bonds, and those are maturing short-term bonds, with longer-term bonds, and they failed. And the problem is they failed to pay out their obligation. The thinking by the Fed and the Treasury is showing one major thing. Because the Fed has pumped trillions into the market in the past 3 years and has bought up billions and billions of bonds themselves, the Fed now wants other investors to sell their Treasury bonds and swap them out for long-term bonds so the Fed can be paid first on their purchases while leave everyone else to hold the bag. The Fed's balance sheet is so highly leveraged with trillions of dollars of debt, and now they're looking to get out of it. We saw this now with them not honoring paper currency earlier this year, as I reported, and now they don't want to do it with the bonds either. Everyone, I'm telling you, this is about to turn really, really ugly, and we alternative economists are all screaming the same warning. Economic collapse is coming. You need to tell everyone you know that it's in some type of government bond fund to get out of it right away and get into real investments like physical gold and silver. Those always are worth something over the long run. Lastly, tonight, a better part of the readout is on fire and is getting worse by the hour. The Carlton Complex fire has grown to more than 215,000 acres, and there's no sign that it'll be under control soon. The fire has destroyed more than 100 homes and businesses, along with countless wheat fields, cattle grazing land, and other seasonal crops. The media is only telling you about the actual fire portion of the news. However, they're not reporting that the economic impacts are going to be staggering for this area. The fire is unbelievably big, and the fact that it's destroyed crops, will cause local food prices and goods like organic milk, wheat, wine, hops, and other products to be very, very expensive. Here's the worst part. The power is out in Okanagan County, and they're saying it takes weeks to repair the infrastructure. Weeks. I want you to think of the emotional toll that it's also taking on those who have lost their homes. They need our prayers and our support right now. If you have a few extra dollars in your budget floating around, please donate to the Red Cross or any other organization dedicated to helping those who have lost everything. Finally tonight, I'm going to forego my normal advice, and instead I'm going to step on my soapbox for a minute. I want to talk about the political race between our own Matt Shea and Josh Arotola. On July 17th, Mr. Arotola released a news statement in an interview carried by the local ABC affiliate KXLY in Spokane. It was garbage journalism. The loose story stated that Mr. Arotola was concerned about Mr. Shea's association with, quote, violent militias. Josh Arotola, who was running against Shea for state representative, sent out a news release Thursday morning. He was prompted by a, quote, concerned citizen about the fact that Shea and his associations with the Oath Keepers. Citizens of the Redoubt, and those who are listening in occupied America, this story is complete and utter Bravo Sierra. When I heard the news, I was so wildly offended that I called John Jacob right away to get the word out that Matt needed our help to combat this story, and many of you stepped up to help. Thank you. Mr. Arotola is a virtual unknown and has never lived in Washington until recently. This juvenile behavior of using, quote, a witness to fabricate a hearsay story is just disgusting and poor form. It proves that Mr. Arotola is a man of low moral character and will stop and stoop to the lowest levels to get what he wants. Are we still in high school, Mr. Arotola? Do you think that we are stupid enough to believe a story such as this? My word, Mr. Arotola. Grow up. Matt Shea has handled this latest attack incredibly well, and throughout it has shown that he is the bigger and more absolutely qualified man for the job. I personally endorse Matt Shea for this role. He is a true patriot and understands our heart's desires for America. He and his teams should be the one who are in the Washington State House, not Mr. Arotola. Matt Shea needs our support. I would encourage all of you to go today to www.voteshea.com and either donate to his campaign or find another way to support him through telling your friends and neighbors that he needs our support and our prayers. Well, thanks again for listening this week. And for I Am the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Right back at you at the Voice of the American Readout. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I am proud to be your host. I am John Jacob Schmidt. This segment, the second part of news and commentary, is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. And of course, as you already know, they provide outstanding real estate services in the North Idaho Panhandle, right in the heart of the American Redoubt. And if you are looking to get relocated in the Panhandle in the northern four counties of Idaho, look them up. Check them out. Go over to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com or just click on the link, the banner there at RadioFreeReadout.com. Either way, we'll get you right there to them, and they'll be happy to help you get strategically relocated out of occupied America into the land of the free. I had a listener letter before we get to the news. A Canadian redoubter. He says, I love the show. I'm a Canadian from Alberta. I'm listening in, and I want to wish you all God's indispensable blessings in the fight. Alberta has been the most conservative province in Canada, but times are changing. Yes, sir, they are. Thanks to a super hot petro economy, we have had a major influx of people from other provinces, and as a result, our province is turning liberal as well. Just wondering what your thoughts are for liberty-loving, God-fearing Canadians. Wondering what your thoughts are on a Canadian redoubt. Is there such a thing? Thanks for your time. Okay, well, thank you for the letter and great question, and you're not the first Canadian to ask this, and it's not just your area turning liberal. This is a global fight. This is spiritual warfare. And there are no lines anymore. It is just asymmetrical warfare. And so you're not alone. So take comfort in that. But I'll just read my response to him real quick. I wrote, so great to hear from you. Well, first of all, take comfort in knowing you're not alone. Other Canadians have expressed the same frustration as well as your neighbors to the south. First of all, we all need to remember that this is a spiritual war, and so that's where most of our fighting should be done, on our knees. This global fascism and their ambitions of slavery are everywhere. Keep resisting the system, the systematic destruction of your values. Even if you feel like you're the only one doing it, inform others carefully who will listen. Walk away from those who won't and prepare for it all to come crumbling down. Now, a collapse of the system is necessary for the globalists to implement their plan. But it will also be necessary for patriots for a reset if we're prepared to seize that opportunity, if we're as proactive as the destroyers are. As for Canada versus American redoubt goes, well, I'm always mindful that when empires and systems collapse, there's always a shifting of borders and re-emergence of new systems and new boundaries. So who knows? You might find yourself in an enjoined American/Canadian patriot nation one day. But that's all in his hands and according to his will. So thanks so much for being out there. And there is balkanization of our country. This is there's a great article over at WorldNet Daily that talks about America no longer being one nation and one people, which is what a lot of us have been saying for a long time. We need to grab that reality, that the reality of that. We might not like it, but it doesn't matter if you like it. If it's the truth, it's the truth. A little update in Idaho. They're sitting there trying to figure out what to do about this same-sex marriage thing that, a while back, a court ruled that Idaho's constitution, which states a marriage is between a man and a woman, was overruled by a court of appeals, and so they were expecting to be forced to begin issuing marriage licenses that Friday, and first thing, as soon as business opened, a judge put the brakes on it, slammed it shut, and said, we're putting a stay on this. So what they're doing now is they're reviewing the case before, so they can decide what to do about it. So your prayers are needed. They are necessary with that in this fight to preserve our values. There's an article, AL.com, from Aniston Gadsden, dealing with domestic extremism. 400 law enforcement officers in Alabama are expected to show up in Oxford for training on how to deal with domestic extremists. Now, this was from the middle of last week, so maybe they already started that, started it over the weekend. About 400 are expected to attend, according to a news release from U.S. Attorney Joyce White Vance, FBI special agent in charge, Richard Schwein. It's really, their names don't matter. But it says the session will take place at the Oxford Performing Arts Center, and conducting the training will be U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Alabama, the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, and the Oxford Police Department. Organizers say those participating will receive training in survival skills needed when dealing with groups such as the Sovereign Citizen Movement or militia groups. Other training will cover deadly force, survival, and weapons of mass destruction. Of course, when you're dealing with militia groups and sovereign citizen people, you've got to be also dealing with, you know, mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction, because they go hand in hand, right? Another session will study mass shooting. Now, which mass shooting do you think that they're going to study, to use as a case study? Well, they're going to use the one that was from August 5th, 2012, at a Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, where a white supremacist shot and killed 6 temple worshipers and wounded 3 before killing himself. Now, of all of the terrorist shootings and terrorist activity, they're going to focus on white supremacists. And now I have no use for white supremacist movements, but see how they tied white supremacist in with militia group in the previous sentence. So what, this line starts to get blurred and all drawn together, and that's where they're orienting. They're indoctrinating our law enforcement officers. Now, to our law enforcement, I'm very pro law enforcement. I'm very concerned about this militarized trend of our law enforcement today. And it's not about wearing, black 511s, cargo pants, and looking cool. It's the mindset that is being instilled, the us versus them. And I understand that sentiment for the cops on the street when, you know, there are people that want to kill you just because you're a police officer. You could be doing all the right things and you're not corrupt and you're follow the law and you're just and you're fair. But see, you're wearing a badge. And so there's people that want to kill you. I understand the ilk that law enforcement have to deal with on a daily basis. And so they're kind of, as a survival mechanism, there begins to set in this us versus them mentality, at least when you're on duty. But this, the new them now, through this indoctrination, is that people with Gadsden flags, don't tread on me flags, people that are in Oath Keepers, people that are in constitutional militias, which is part of our Constitution. When homeschoolers and people like this, conservative Christians, are lumped in there with the rest of the demonization indoctrination of what a homeland domestic terror threat is, this is where I have a serious problem. When, as a matter of practice, they're clearly violating the Constitution, we have to resist that. We have to step forward and we have to speak up. So guys in uniform, whether you're in blue or green, God bless you for your service. But I want you to think carefully. When somebody is telling you these are the bad guys, I want you to be very careful of the indoctrination that's taking place. I want you to not be mindless robots. I want you to look at the Constitution that you took an oath to uphold and ask yourself if this matches up with that oath and with the Constitution. And I know a lot of you guys are, you're God-fearing patriots and you wear the uniform, and we're very grateful for that. There's a lot of guys on the fence. So when you get the opportunity, very carefully talk about this with your fellow brothers and sisters in uniform. You have to be careful about this, though. There's going to come a time when there's going to be a purging, and you could be targeted for that because of your views. So be a patriot, but be careful also. But be a patriot. All right, now let's see here. What else? Governors. Oh, we got two governors that are fighting Common Core, and they are not in the American Redoubt. One in Wisconsin and one in I just deleted it. Huh. Well, anyway, they're not in the American Redoubt. So what's wrong with the governors in the American Redoubt? We need to light a fire under their butts. There's two other things I want to cover real quick. Now, there's a woman who was grazed by a bullet. She was being robbed. She refused to give up her smartphone. And the 29-year-old woman says she has no regrets about not handing over her smartphone. Now, this is amazing, the mentality. This guy pulls a gun, says, give me yourself your smartphone. And she's like, no, I'm not giving that up. Well, what's interesting today is the mentality where people will give up their rights. They'll give up the hard fought for freedoms and the liberty and allow the Constitution to be trampled and allow our country to be destroyed. But they'll take a bullet to the head before they'll give up their smartphone. I thought that was really interesting. But they'll give up everything else. They'll give up their liberties without a whimper. But boy, you ain't getting my smartphone. Wow. This is where we've come to. Hey, you guys know that there's been, I'm all kind of stuffed up. There's been so much smoke in the air, and the huge portion of the American Redoubt has been enshrouded in smoke from the wildfires in Oregon and Washington. And very interesting. There's one place I put a letter in to the local Aries Races representative for Okanagan County in Washington State to ask him how are amateur radio operators contributing or helping, or are they getting involved to help these towns out and coordinate. Because there are several towns where there is no burned cables, telephone poles, and power lines have cut off all power, phone, and internet services in several central Washington towns hit by wildfires this week. They're still going on. Power is out in Pateros, Carlton, Twisp, Winthrop, and surrounding areas, according to a press release from the Okanagan County Public Utilities District. Electrical systems, almost a complete loss, and they're looking at weeks and weeks for this to get back up and running. Now, there's one interesting thing here that I noted that in the comments, which I didn't clip, I didn't save, but I wish I would have. These people are telling the story that they smelled the smoke. The air was getting warmer. They weren't hearing anything from the authorities on evacuating. So they thought, you know what? We better start packing up. And these people are packing up. And all of a sudden the fire comes up over the ridge. And it's bearing down on them. And they're expediting their plans. Still nothing on the radio. No loudspeaker. No, nothing from the authorities. Finally get the last of their stuff all packed up. And the fire's coming, the embers are starting to come down out of the air, and they take off. Well, several of these homes in this 50-home tract were destroyed. They've had over 100 homes destroyed in these fires in central Washington, in the American Redoubt. And they were really hung up on the fact that the authorities didn't tell them that they should have evacuated. They're waiting for an official order. So this really highlights the need for you to be self-reliant, not to rely on others, even the authorities. When they're stretched out that thin and they're fighting massive forest wildfires all over the place, you could apply this to multiple terrorist attacks, to any type of a catastrophic situation that's not isolated, or even if it is just isolated like a wildfire. You know to start packing. You should know to have routes planned out. Now, that's something that we've been doing here at the Redoubt Ranch is fire mitigation. Been cutting a lot of grass way out away from buildings, delimbing trees up to, you know, 6-8 feet, even 9 or 10 feet high in places. And it's been a lot of work, but we're doing this fire mitigation and working on reviewing our evacuation plan and prioritizing, just kind of reviewing all that, getting it all dialed in, because everything's so dry and we are in fire season, full bore. So I just want to encourage you guys to review that, since we're in summer, we're in the summer months, and a lot of you are living in very dry areas right now. And this is the time of year when we're real prone to wildfires. So review that plan and be prepared to make your own decisions and not wait for authorities to tell you when you should bug out. Make those decisions on their own. Let them make whatever calls they want. Let's see here. That's it. Let's take a break and we'll come right back. Segment three, I'm going to talk a little bit about part two of what I was going to cover from God and Country, some things that I wanted to address. So stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." In 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
All right, we're back, and I am sorry about that, everyone. For our live listening audience, I went dead air. That's bad. That's a bad thing. I was in all of my excitement. What I didn't realize was that I bumped my SD card, and it popped out just a little bit, so it became disconnected for my live streaming. And I'm just sitting here yakking away, and then all of a sudden I realized that I wasn't streaming and I couldn't figure out why, and I'm scratching all my head and looking all over the place. So anyway, I thought, oh boy, I got to figure out what I did wrong and what's happening. And then I tried, anyway, one thing led to another. Now, you guys that are listening during the week, which is the majority of the listeners downloading this, I kind of messed up here. I hit my SD card and it popped out, So you guys don't even know. You didn't even know. But for the live listening audience, oops, sorry about that. Try not to let that. I don't think that's ever happened before. But there we are. There we have it. Now, in the meantime, though, I actually got a couple of emails, some updates. And so I just want to share those with you. Now, this segment is sponsored by Katie Armor. That's C-A-T-I Armor, Patriot-owned business that make top-of-the-line AR 500 level 3 body armor. They make the front and back plates and side plates. They also sell the carriers and other accessories for your tactical bulletproof needs. And they also have the anti-spalling coating. So check them out at katiearmor.com. That's C-A-T-I armor.com. Okay, the letters that I got here. The Orchard is a nickname for a training area where they do ballistics south of Gowan Field, north of Mountain Home Air Force Base. So that's not really an orchard, but they wanted 650 camping supplies brought out there immediately. And of course, we know that the federal government is flying immigrants all over the place. And then one other follow-up as well, the OMAC, we were talking about the wildfires and that I'd put in a letter to the Aries Racy's director for Okanagan County saying, you know, hey, what are you guys doing with there's no communications, there's no electricity, there's no phones, there's no internet to several of these towns, Winthrop, Twisp, and some of these others. So how are you guys helping to support them? And no response. Of course, they're up to their eyeballs right now. And they're up to their armpits and alligators over there. But I just got an Amron operator sent this over saying that the OMAC emergency communications went active just this afternoon. Wow, about 5 days late. Left and right hands do not seem to be well connected. Most of the EC radio stuff was not working. This is about 50 miles from this Amron operator. Like everything else these days, I'll fix it later, seems to be the norm. The HF vertical that they have has been leaning at a 45-degree angle for over a year. The hams didn't seem to know. Now they have an ant party to fix it tomorrow. And the repeater links for the worst hit areas have been broken for almost a year. And the list goes on. So very interesting. He's going to be keeping us apprised of any updates. And that's what we're trying to overcome. That's why we do regular nets with our equipment. That's what we stress for the Amron operators, to continuously be testing and working and upgrading and maintaining your equipment so that it's ready on game day. Of course, game day is coming up. T-Rex 2014. Hopefully that will be just a training exercise. Okay, now this segment, I really wanted to focus on something that I was going to, was supposed to be part of the final wrap-up from the speech that I had written up to do at God and Country in Marble, Washington. What I hear is a lot of frustration from you, people that I meet, that the pulpit is silent to so much of this stuff going on in the world. They're talking about, Jesus died for our sins. Forgive one another. Husbands, you know, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. You know, the typical stuff. But they won't go anywhere near these issues that our Christians are faced with today. And I know you guys are getting increasingly frustrated. I'll tell you what. I mean, if you get all of the patriots from all these different churches together, you'd have a mega church. And you guys aren't alone. Your frustration is shared by many, many other like-minded, God-fearing patriots all over the place. But, you know, there's, you know, 10 of you in a church of, you know, 500 people that really care. It feels that way, doesn't it? There's actually more of you than you realize. But this is a time when we need leadership. We need leaders to step up. But one of the things that's leading to the frustration is that the pastors are not taking a leadership role in the culture that we're living in, like they did historically, like during the colonial times. It was so integrated into their culture. And the people went to the pastors. They went to church to learn how to deal with the issues of the day from a Christian perspective. But they're not doing that today, by and large. At least not from a patriot perspective. Now, what happened was, right before the, or during the Republican primary elections, over in Kootenai County, Idaho, there was a pastor who was passing out some voters' guides. And these voter guides informed the voters of where the candidates stood on the different issues. I'm not telling you how to vote. However, these guys here are for Common Core. These guys here are support the healthcare exchange and the Obamacare. These guys are anti-gun. These guys, you know, whatever it was. So on the issues, people were informed in the congregation. Well, there was a left-wing imposter, Republican, Rhino, who lost the election. And when he lost, he pointed and he his eyes teared up and his lower lip started quivering, saying that it's not fair because the pastor violated church and state separation, which there's no such thing. That's a myth, actually, that's been created by the extreme left wing. But what happened was they went to the newspaper with it, and the newspaper went and found a sympathetic pastor. And this pastor said that just because something is legal doesn't mean it's good practice. In my judgment, those are basically not theological or biblical issues. In his judgment. And of course, what he's talking about, he says the Bible doesn't speak to insurance exchanges or Common Core. So this is the cop-out that pastors are trying to use by saying, hey, well, it's not a biblical issue. We need to, you know, stay out of that stuff. Besides that, you're concerning yourself with the world, the things of the world. You're not focusing on kingdom issues. Well, I disagree with him. I think that we have dual citizenship and we're supposed to take dominion here on earth and expand the kingdom here on earth until his kingdom comes. So anyway, we're living in a fallen world and, you know, the souls of our children are at stake. So we are very much to be involved in these issues today. They affect us directly. And he says, here we have a lot of people who are absolutely afraid, he said. They're afraid Obama's going to get them, or the federal government's going to get them, or a tree's going to fall on them, or something's going to happen. Scripture teaches that perfect love, which is God's character description, drives out fear. If we're operating in fear as a community, then we as a faith community are not speaking the right language into the community. So he's right. We do need to be speaking love, and we shouldn't be fearful. But there is one thing that we should be fearful of, and that is the Lord. I mean a reverent, deep respect, at knowing what he's capable of if we reject him. And as a culture, we are rejecting him. And when God's people historically and biblically have rejected him, they paid the price for it. And if there's anything we should be fearful of, it's the Lord, and in a healthy way. Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice cannot sleep forever. The other thing is, too, we're so concerned. We're more fearful, just like this pastor. He's more fearful of what the world thinks than what God thinks, that he's willing to stay away from those issues so he doesn't make any enemies. And he calls it operating in the name of love. Now, I think, God bless him. I think that he's misled. And this is a matter of educating the pastors who don't know, because they went through seminary. All they're doing is regurgitating what they were taught. how to run the right little church, how to do your 501c3 tax-exempt status, how to market your church, and all this kind of stuff. Things that can endanger your 501c3 status, and, you know, have the IRS breathing down your neck, you know, so stay away from these topics and social issues and political issues. And that's how they've basically bound the pastors. There's no liberty there when you are bound to and restricted to only speak of certain things and, oh, don't go over there, right? But see, George Mason, one of the founders, in 1771, he was arguing against slavery, but he said this: all acts of legislature apparently contrary to natural right and justice are in our laws and must be in the nature of things be considered void. The laws of nature and the laws of God, whose authority can be superseded by no power on earth. A legislature must not obstruct our obedience to him from whose punishments they cannot protect us. Let that one sink in. You've got a guy who has a bakery or a woman who has a flower shop, and a homosexual couple want to have a celebration, and they want to force you to provide services for their celebration, and it violates your moral conscience, goes against your beliefs. You refuse. So under these so-called human rights laws, now you're threatened with jail and imprisonment, the loss of your business, heavy fines, or we'll put you on probation, and then you have to go through the sensitivity training where you must endure indoctrination that teaches you that homosexuality is a human right. When did sin become a human right? But anyway, that this is a human right and you're in violation of it and you won't do it again. So smack your hand. But the thing is, that's why our government and people in our government have been trying so hard to get rid of God and their collaborators, the collaborators to help the destroyers undo America and wipe out the underpinnings that made this country what it is or what it was. Because, see, as long as there's a God, there's a higher authority. So the state must be the highest authority. See, these are statists. That's what a statist is. One who believes that the state is the ultimate authority. So they have to get rid of God. Because these pastors are telling us we have to follow these laws, even though they're godless laws, or just don't get involved. A legislature must not obstruct our obedience to him, whose punishments they cannot protect us from. Do you get that? We're more afraid of the people and what they'll think than we are of God. So we want to comply with their agenda, which is a godless agenda. And then those people cannot protect us from him when his judgment comes. Okay. So anyway, why am I saying this? Why is this not coming from the pulpit? Well, it is. I mean, there's some patriot pastors out there. Pastor Sharam Hadian, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, a Chaplain Mick from Chaplain Mick's blog. There are some patriot clergy out there. Absolutely. John Beale from bywhatstandard.org Ministries. Barry Bird from Marble. There are some patriot pastors and clergy out there. But the newspapers, they run to people like this who want to mock you because you're concerned about the direction that we're going. That pastor doesn't know history. He doesn't realize the reality of what we're seeing. He doesn't understand the signs that are all around us. And here's another one too. This one just came out today from The Blaze. Pastor Tullian Chavigian, senior pastor at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, believes that evangelical Christianity has been tarnished by its association with the religious right. Did you catch that? Well, Chavigian, who also noted that the word evangel means good news, said he's not sure what can be done to fix the perception problems. He believes pastors need to stick to their calling if they want to undo the damage that has been done to the brand of evangelicalism. That's not even a real word. Evangelicalism. Isn't it evangelism? Evangelical? Maybe it is a real word. To the brand of evangelicalism. That is, preaching the Christian gospel. He's recommended it in the past that pastors consider spending the next 5 years refusing to talk from the pulpit about anything other than the Bible. Well, that's a nice safe place, right? He said it's not that pastors can't have opinions, but he highlighted the importance of compartmentalizing and being careful how ideas are shared. What do you mean being careful not to offend the world? God's word is offensive to the world. So if you're going to water it down, basically, he says, I basically almost refuse to make any kind of public commentary on anything other than the gospel from the pulpit, Chavijian said, adding that it is a pastor's job to diagnose and deliver sinners, not champion a political or social agenda. And it's not your job to oppose a social agenda either. So you can just let it come, right? No opposition whatsoever. He continued, for the last 40 years, we've talked more about what's going on in our culture than we have preaching Christ and Him crucified. Okay. I understand you cannot get so immersed in patriot this, patriot that, that you neglect the gospel. That's the cornerstone. But see, the problem is the pastors are so worried about offending the world that they stick to all the safe topics. But see, the reality of it is, pastors, there are people in your congregations that are being faced with real world issues, and they're looking to you for guidance. Because a man says, hey, pastor, they're threatening to take my business and I'm facing fines because I won't bake a cake for this homosexual celebration. Please help me. What's the pastor do? Did I ever tell you Jesus died for you, for your sins? Pastor, I won't put this flower arrangement together for this homosexual couple. And now they're threatening criminal charges against me for human rights violations. Jesus turned water into wine and he died on the cross for your sins. This is why our people are frustrated. Historically, the pastors, the Black Robe Regiment pastors, they stood and they talked about the issues of the day because the people needed to know how to live. This is from truthinhistory.org/the Black Robed Regiment. I'm going to put a posting up there. This is an education process. I'm going to read this to you. They, the Black Robe, understood that in order to have a great government, then you must have great citizens. The way that you have great citizens is by having great people that are rooted in the foundation of the Word of God. Week after week after week, they expounded upon the principles of the proper role of government, the proper role of individuals, all underneath the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. These were statesmen, clergy. They taught the people had issues, and that needs to come from a biblical perspective, not stick your head in the sand, not if there's danger coming and if there's a crisis coming, if our borders are being invaded, if our nation turns against God, if our economy is on the edge of collapsing, and you prepare and you store up food, well, then you're living in fear. But Joseph wasn't living in fear. He had advance warning that there was going to be 7 years of drought. Store up for it. Don't sit there and tremble and be afraid. Be afraid of the Lord, because what he says is coming. Now, if we've been given the gift of advance warning, that there are very difficult times, challenging times coming for our country. We would be negligent if we didn't heed those warnings that he's given us. We have to be engaged. The pastors have to be engaged. I don't want to cause division in the church. Okay, but I want you to pray for their eyes to be opened. And I also want you to stay focused, because there's nothing wrong with you, Christians, for preparing, for being concerned and grieving for what's happening to your country. Just like Nehemiah, just like Daniel, just like all the other people who grieved when they saw what was coming to Israel or to Judah, because the people rejected God. And they were afraid of God and his correction, because it's a very painful process. And so anyway, I want you to pray for these guys. And I know you want to just choke them, okay? But don't choke them. Pray for them and try to educate those who will listen, because they are waking up. How many of you in the listening audience, man, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, man, I was asleep. I had no clue what was coming now. And then I freaked out. Whoa, okay? Don't be fearful. Just prepare. Just like this home church leader that I go to. At one point, he was saying Christians shouldn't join militias. And about 6 months later, there was this progression that he went through. And I was talking to him about some of the stuff in the Founding Fathers and things like that. And he got to the point where he was talking to the group, the little congregation, saying, things are coming to the point where, who knows, one day as Christians, we might have to join militias just for security. And I went, wow, okay, this is like a serious change. So they are changing. People are waking up and they are starting to rethink things. All right. So be patient with them. I know it's hard to do, but you know what? If they won't listen, then fine. Then that's fine. It shouldn't change what you're doing. Don't believe, buy into it, that you're not, that you're just living in fear. Here's something else. There's this county, Kootenai County clerk approached me at the Dick Heller event, speaking engagement. He says, John Jacob, I need some prayer from your people, from you. I issue marriage licenses. This is about a month ago. Now, this got squashed. Remember, I just talked about this in the first segment. He said, tomorrow morning, if that judge hadn't have put the brakes on that ruling, I would have had to, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, start issuing marriage licenses to homosexual couples. And he says, I would not have done it. It's a violation of my beliefs, my core values, my religious beliefs, my Christian faith. He said, they could take me out of there in handcuffs. They could fire me, whatever it is, but I was not going to issue a single one on my watch. Now you take that man to go to your pastor. Pastor, what do I do about this? We should really not be involved in cultural issues. My business, Pastor, I'm being forced to provide health care that also includes abortion, and I face fines and penalties if I don't comply. I need some guidance. Did I ever tell you how Noah got all those animals on the ark? I mean, come on, guys, wake up. Wake up. The people in your congregation are being faced with real world issues. And it's mostly because people like you won't speak up. You won't oppose this enemy. Anyway, try to educate. Go to the Black Robe Regiment. Go to Truth in History. Go to Wall Builders. Get these resources to take to your pastor to educate them. And remind them that this is a different season that we're living in now. That there is, and you know what? If that's what they're called to do, sit there and just bring people to salvation, and that's it, maybe that's their calling. But these guys need to be educated. They need to step up to the times. And, you know, I said before, I challenge any one of these guys. If I put them in front of one of these Black Robe Regiment pastors, to look him in the eye and tell him that they were wrong. Look at any one of the founding fathers of this country and tell them they're out of line, that they're absolutely wrong, that we should just continue submitting to the tyrant from England. We're going to talk about that more when I get back. Let's take a break. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. He estimates that, at a minimum, a partial collapse of government services, the economy, our social structure, and life as we know it in America is coming in the not-too-distant future. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Redoubt. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
This is Jordan Page, and you're listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt.
All right, we're back with segment four after a little bit of a glitch between right after segment two when I popped my SD card out and the streaming stopped and I was clueless and didn't realize what it was till later. So I didn't get abducted. I didn't get infiltrated and shut down and all that good stuff yet. Okay, so segment four is brought to you by AMP3 Medical. Amazing patriots. And that is Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project. Go and check those guys out. They sell top of the line, medical equipment and other preparedness gear. And, you can click on the link there at the website and that'll take you right on through to their site. Don't forget, you can contact me at John Jacob at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. We really appreciate your letters of encouragement, your insight, your suggestions and feedback. And, if you're listening to, a downloaded version, you're on the go, maybe you're a first-time listener or somebody gave you a CD or something to introduce you to Radio Free Redoubt. Remember, you can visit us at radiofreeredoubt.com. That's R-E-D-O-U-B as in Bravo, T, R-E-D-O-U-B-T.com. And when you are corresponding, include your Amron call sign or your code name. That's much appreciated. Okay, now I got a hold of a video that somebody sent me just this afternoon. This is from a retired, this is an interview of a retired Border Patrol agent. He's saying that this, what's going on in our border, is a deliberate destruction of our country. And this is what I and several other people have been saying. The left-wing extremists, the anti-American fascists, that have hijacked the Democrat Party. Not to mention the infiltrators and the in the Republican Party that are hostile toward patriots. These guys are facilitating this. They're doing nothing about it. And you heard at the beginning of the show, all of these fascists, anti-American enemies, are saying that the borders are secure. They're all parroting the same thing that they were told to say. I'd love to know who told them. It got passed around. I guarantee it. They all said the exact same thing. Our border is more secure than it has ever been. That came from someone. But there's a new report from the southern border that suggests otherwise. And also, now the cartels are using suppressive fire to keep the agents down for the long enough for the illegals to get across the border, and then they run and they surrender to the border agents so that nobody can interfere with getting the illegals here. And the people at the highest levels are responsible for this. Listen to what this retired Border Patrol agent says.
The reason we're having the press of the Central American miners is because this particular administration has invited them to come here. The problem, as I see it, and as apparently because Center for Disease Control, Health and Human Services, and Department of Homeland Security are trying to make this a control situation, they're anticipating a large national crisis. When you see that FEMA is preparing for 200 million deaths in the United States, that tells you something. When you see that the government is controlling the supply of ammunition and that basic medical supplies are in short supply in southern Arizona, something's wrong. They are anticipating something drastic. If they had enforced the law, if they didn't enforce the immigration law, and if they had expeditiously removed these people that came here, this group of miners, they would have dealt with this situation. The way they are reacting to it is facilitating and inviting more of the same. So what they're doing is making a bad situation much worse. The real reason these people are probably coming here from an intelligence point of view is to mask or draw attention away from something else that is happening. Since the United States government is encouraging this, it is something that the United States government wants to happen. We're not doing anything to stop the obvious threat.
See, just like I said, like I've been saying, this is a deliberate, calculated effort, invasion by traitors inside our government to aid in the overthrow and destruction of our country. They accuse right-wing extremists of overthrowing our government. There's no need to overthrow our government. Our government has already been overthrown. We just sat there and watched. We let the masses get deceived and put those people in power. This is huge. This is huge, people. And the pastors don't want to accept this. The citizens that don't want to accept this. In the elected officials that don't understand that we are seeing the last days of the American empire. I cannot even tell you. It's just going to play out. And then I'm not even going to do the "see, I told you so" thing. I'm just going to shake my head. You know, I mean, what do you do when you try? You try to shout from the rooftops and wow, it's just wow. But this guy gets it. This guy understands what's going on. This is nothing less than asymmetrical warfare at the deepest level of international geopolitical and sociopolitical manipulation that can only be done on this level. And this deep, with global reach, can only be done with demonic forces.
That are protecting America at the border, off of the border. So now the borders are wide open. This gives the people that are trying to get their infrastructure, their personnel, their drugs, their dirty bombs, their biological weapons, their chemical weapons, into the United States without being noticed, because this part of the border is open. It is not being patrolled. It is a perfect military strategy. It doesn't raise any eyebrows because we're focused on the children. But we need to focus on our children, because this is asymmetrical warfare. Everything says it is. And the way the United States government is responding to it is concealing that fact from the American people. In other words, they're assisting in the downfall of America. And you need to understand that.
Bingo. Exactly. Why does it feel like there's only like four of us that are saying this? But anyway, there it is. The border is not completely safe. It is more dangerous than it has ever been. It is more more compromised than it has ever been. That's what it is. Okay, listen. I know I hear people say, oh man, if we could just have George Washington back. Oh, where is Thomas Jefferson when we need him? Oh, Ronald Reagan. He had his issues. Where are these people? Where's Thomas Paine? Where's Samuel Adams? Guess what? I wish they were here. They're not here. They're not coming back. This is on us. We have the responsibility. There's no one else coming to the rescue. This is on us. Tag, we're it. Ronald Reagan's not coming back. George Washington isn't coming back. Thomas Jefferson isn't coming back. This is it. We're it. You know, it's like everyone's waiting for this globalist attack on Americanism, this trend, to just pass so we can move on with the good old days. But they're just kind of waiting it out. They're not even in the fight. They're just waiting it out. Like this is something temporary. This is temporary. This stage, this phase is temporary. There's another one coming. Now, what do you do? Well, you get in the life raft. The best chance that we have, if it's his will, if he blesses it, our hope and our prayer is that he will protect his remnant. He will gather them together in places and protect them. Now, we call those redoubts, which is a fallback position. It's a safe haven. It's a refuge. Now, I'm a proponent of the American redoubt, and I understand there are also other redoubts. Somebody wrote and they said, this is why I will not be in the American redoubt. And then wrote a little article saying, because my home is here. This is where I live. I'm not going to run off someplace else. And this is where I'm going to fight, and this is where I'm going to die. This is where I'm going to lay my head, because this is where my roots are planted. I understand that. Now, if the American redoubt or falling back to another position, basically strategically relocating, is a personal choice, and it's not for everyone. But if you feel like a foreigner in your own land, the American redoubt might be the right move for you. I've heard that somewhere before. So if you're going to, if this isn't about fighting and dying because this is where your grandfather lived and your father lived. My grandfather was in Scotland. And it became so overrun with control and taxes and tyranny, really, that they left 80 years ago to come to America. Well, why didn't they just stay there and fight? Why didn't they just stay there and just take it back? Why didn't the colonists, why did they move to England? That's their home. It had been their home for generations upon generations upon generations. Why would they just leave? Why would they just abandon it? That's their home, right? They went to a redoubt. It was called America. It was a new land. It was a place where like-minded, God-fearing believers could go and they could worship freely without being persecuted. Sound familiar? And see, because you could ask them too, why colonists? Why did you leave your home? Now, there were some people that said, I'm not going to run. I'm going to stay right here. But see, you're going to stay right there in a system that is great. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily this guy here who wrote this in saying, this is why I won't be in the American Redoubt, because this is my home. This is where I am. Actually, where he is potentially another redoubt. That's his redoubt. If you can gather enough like-minded patriots to that area, the only way that you can prevail in a total systemic collapse, like an empire level collapse, when smaller nations re-emerge, self-ruling states, you're going to be ruled by the majority demographic in that area. Their views, their values, their religion, it's going to be based on the majority demographic. That's why the ultra-conservative inland Pacific Northwest is such a favorable area for like-minded, God-fearing patriots to move to, where there's already the majority. And then the more that come here, the becomes a supermajority. Then you got the best chance of, this isn't about dying, fighting and dying for what you believe in. This is about preserving Americanism for generations. And if we're living in the end times, the last days, and hey, Jesus is coming back, great. But I don't want to just be in the Warsaw ghetto and just fight until we're dead, because I'd rather, you know, die, you know, fighting than die on my knees, die, you know, a free man, as opposed to dying as a slave. It's not just about fighting. It's about living. I mean, it's about your everything you believe in and value living on, even after you. But see, that's why the colonists moved. That's why the colonists uprooted, because they knew that the best chance that they'd have of having the liberty that they dreamed of was to join others where the supermajority were like-minded. Now, the supermajority wasn't all willing to fight against the crown, because they had it pretty good. They didn't want, well, that's a whole nother discussion. I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to answer some questions, because the Summer of Survival episode 13, which aired the Comms Up 2 video, was a huge success. There are so many testimonials. They forwarded to me 118 comments from viewers, every single one of them positive. And people that said, I didn't realize how important communications was until now. Now, we are going to make Comms Up 2 available toward the end of the Summer of Survival. We will post that on Radio Free Redoubt and Amron.com for our regular, longtime, faithful Radio Free Redoubt followers. We want to share that with you. But anyway, this was just, it was a huge success because it was so impactful. Well, along with the 118 comments, I also got 3 pages of questions from listeners asking about communications. So I'm going to respond to these over the coming weeks, but I'm also drafting something that I'll put up in a posting to help answer their questions. So let's take a look here. Oh, by the way, I've got to remind you guys, the Amron Core membership, for people who are really, really want to get involved in communications on, you know, more of an intentional, purposeful level, to help keep like-minded patriots, preppers, redoubters connected. And you have skills or equipment or both, or you plan on that and you want to keep advancing your skills and become better and better and more proficient at that, then we have a platform for that, and that's Amron Core. And that charter membership will be in place until August 15th, and then that will go away, and then that will become a regular membership. So the charter membership window is going to close here in less than a month. Okay, now let's get into some of these questions. Number one, Can you talk about NVIS and why it is useful? Thank you. Okay, yes, I can. For those of you who do not know what I'm talking about, NVIS is an antenna configuration. It's the way you set up your antenna so that it behaves, the radio waves behave a certain way. NVIS, or also known as NVIS, is NVIS for near vertical inductance skywave. What that means is you lower your antenna to anywhere from, it's worked actually 3 feet off the ground, but ideally about 10, 12, 15 feet, depending on the band that you're operating in. You get that off the ground at a horizontal wire, about average about 12 feet off the ground. What that does is it increases the, decreases the takeoff angle of your signal. And so it hits the ground and bounces almost vertically, almost straight up. That's why it's called near vertical. It's nearly going straight up. The effect that this has is that it's bounces your signal straight up and it hits the ionosphere. And it's kind of like one of those little sprinklers where it just shoots straight up in the air and then it comes down in an even radius. It's like showers back down in about a 300 mile radius, give or take, depending on band conditions and things like that. But that's what NVIS does. It you just adjust your antenna. It's basically lowering your antenna with certain bands like 80 meter, 40 meter, 160 meter. Those bands, NVIS will work very well in most conditions. Now, the advantage of that is when you have a extremely mountainous terrain, it's kind of like using the ionosphere as a repeater, like we talked about in Comms Up 2, where you send a signal almost straight up, it showers back down in about a 300-mile radius. Well, that's a great way to talk to the guy, your buddy, in the next valley over just 5 miles away. Because remember, HF is really for long-distance stuff. If you can get really close, line of sight, you got ground wave. But if you got mountains between you, that signal can actually skip over you. So if you lower that, adjust that antenna so that you're using NVIS, near vertical inductance skywave, it shoots the signal almost straight up. So it comes almost straight back down. Hope that answers that question. And then of course there's lots of information out there on that. And, so in a mountainous area, it's really good. And it's also extremely difficult, if not impossible, for ground radio direction finding to pinpoint your location, which is very helpful, especially if you're in mountainous terrain. When you're out in the open plains, that's not going to work very good for you because your signal radiates out horizontally as well, and there's no mountains to stop it. And then it's really easy to pinpoint your location. All right, question. I want to set up a station for the house with a large antenna. Give me one model you suggest, please. All right, that's difficult because there's follow-up questions. I don't have enough information to answer this, so I'll take a shot at this. Large, by large, do you mean extra tall? You can put a 50-foot tower up. That would be one large antenna. The other large would be, how much room do you have? Because if you want to set up a, you know, full wave dipole antenna, you better be on 5 acres, you know what I mean? Or, you know, 2.5 acres, someplace where you can really string out, you know, a, you know, 120-foot antenna. So it depends on how much space you have to do that with. So I would say if you've got the space, a large antenna, meaning long, a long wire antenna, would be a dipole, and that would be one of two different types of antennas, either a Carolina Windham or a G5RV center fed. The Carolina Windham end fed allows you to feed it your coax line into one end and then run your wire out as long as you need to. And then the G5RV is one that is center fed. That's where you connect your coax cable in the middle of this long wire. So it depends on where your radio is going to be, where your trees are, where your feed line is, where your property line is. There's just too many variables in there. But those are my two just shooting from the hip antennas that I would look at very closely, just guessing at your situation. A Carolina Wyndham, an end-fed Carolina Wyndham, or a G5RV, which is a center-fed antenna. All right, what is your preferred field expedient antenna for a go bag? For a go bag, it would usually be VHF, UHF stuff. I recommend and prefer a roll-up J-pole that rolls up. It was in the Comms Up 2 video. Rolls up about the size of a CD or a DVD, and just stick it in your pocket and run, or stick it in your go bag. But you can unroll it, pull it up into a tree, string it up into a tree, and you've got amazing gain out of those little buggers. So that's my first. That's my my preferred antenna for my go bag. And then what is the best HF frequency band, 10 through 160 meters, to transmit directly to friends and family over 300 miles? Well, it depends on how much over 300 miles, because if you are, 500 miles away, I'd go 20 meters. If you're only 300 miles away, I'd use the 40 meters this time of year. But then there's another variable. In the wintertime, that's going to change. We would use 80 meters instead of 40 meters during the winter time, because propagation is going to change for those bands. And come springtime again, when 80 meters starts turning all crappy, then we'll switch over to 40 meters, because in the summertime, that's superior. Well, final question. Any recommendation for first shortwave radio with single sideband? Yes. I've tried several of them. I haven't tried them all, but of the ones I have tried, the Texsun 880, that's T-E-C-S-U-N 880, 880. The Texsun 880 is the one that I've had the absolute best performance on, hands down. Even with the little telescoping antenna, it's amazing what I've picked up on that. And you plug in an external antenna and string that up, even that much better. Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap this up, because this went a little long. It covered some stuff that I really wanted to get out there. And then I wanted to get some of these listener questions. I really got I just screwed up my mojo there when my whole SD card thing whacked out. I just lost my momentum. I was just into it. But there you go. Anyway, you guys have a blessed week. And as far as these questions go, I'm going to actually, when I'm not all discombobulated, I'm actually going to type out, a really solid, quick, bulleted, straight to the point answer in the future on these, so that I can make sure it's very clear and concise, and not winging it, because, I pop my SD card out and pop my brain out in the process. Anyway, coming up August 5th, guys, in Washington, your primaries are coming up, and it's really critical that you get involved in those. And of course, Wyoming, August 19th. So you've got some time to learn about those candidates. Go to radiofreereadout.com and look at the voter information page that we have for your candidates in the American Readout. And if you have other resources you'd like to send in, just shoot them to us and we'll get those posted. All right, you have a blessed week this week. Thank you so much for being out there. Thank you for your support. And just God bless everything that you set your hand to. Okay, I am John Jacob Schmidt. This is the Voice of the American Readout. Good night.